Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, O put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows, Psalter 60, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Luke 15, the verses 11 through 24. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 15, the verses 11 through 24. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Thus far the scripture reading. Oh, let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord, it has pleased thee in thy mercy to gather us and our children together in the evening of the Sabbath day within the walls of thy house of prayer. We have heard it in this morning hour, praying always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That is what we stand in need of in this evening hour, of self so prayerless, so thankless. And to that end, do come down with thy Holy Spirit, dwell richly amongst us, grant that humility and reverence, a little bewilderment on account of thy goodness, and may sires have come up to thy house, that it may please thee to dwell richly in the midst of us, that thou may perform thy mighty works. Thou art that mighty God in the way of providence, and thou also knowest the trials and the difficulties there can be in thy providence, and that thy providence can seem so mysterious. But, Lord, when we may have a right impression of our sinnership and what we deserve, then it should not be so strange to us, then it should be much stranger when thou granteth many blessings, much prosperity, and not so many trials. To that end, in this evening hour, may it also be a house of thanksgiving, that thy praises may rise out of the hearts of sinners for thy wonderful works. But, Lord, may it also be a house of conversions for young and old, a house of uncovering, a house of instruction, a house of edification, a house of encouragement, and a house of comfort. And thou hast promised where two or three are gathered in my name, and there I am in the midst of them. And thou hast promised thy special blessing and thy special presence. May that have been the petition of many among young and old. Wilt thou richly bless the means of grace in the family circles, help fathers and mothers to that end. Bless thy word in the church. Do continue to help the consistory, who is sufficient unto these things. And then by renewal, then we may lay before thee the confession of faith class, O Lord. Wilt thou make them living members of the living church, of the living King? We commend unto thee the catechism classes, the instructors and the students, and may it please thee in this season to spare the instructors and the students alike, and to grant thy richest blessing. Do bless thy holy word when it may be daily opened in our Christian school. Do help and remember the school board when they hope to meet this week. Continue to grant traveling mercies. Do help instructors and students, so we commend thy church all over the earth, from the rivers to the ends of the earth, from the north to the south. The established churches, our theological school, the instructors and the students, the persecuted church, the Jewish people, mission work, also our mission field. Wilt thou remember when a deputy visit is planned, when a brother elder from another congregation from the mission board and the administrator hope to leave in the day of tomorrow and visit Bolivia and Peru? May it please thee to grant traveling mercies, grant thy help, and add thy blessing. We commend unto thee our country, federally, provincially, and locally. In the day of tomorrow, it is a day of elections. Wilt thou grant rulers, also locally, in the different places, that have learned to bow their knees and who daily open thy word. Lord, then we commend unto thee our elderly ones. Then to mothers, one hopes to turn 90 and another 189. The one a widow, the other may still be with her husband, both residing in Bethesda. Wilt thou grant a good day and tokens of thy favor? Remember so all our elderly ones. Do continue to remember our Bethesda, all those who may lovingly care for our residents, their residents, and above all things, do work with thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. We commend unto thee a husband and wife who at the end of this week hope to commemorate 57 years in the bond of holy matrimony. They may erect an Ebenezer. We commend them unto thee for body and soul. Wilt thou so remember all our elderly ones? We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, half-orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Oh, do remember and uphold them and grant a place at thy footstool. Do remember the sick and afflicted in special way under the physician's care. All the different circumstances are known unto thee. May the means be blessed, above all the calling sanctified. We remember the handicapped ones. Remember all the crosses, the burdens, the scars. Wilt thou remember those that struggle with difficulties and weakness of the mind, together with their loved ones? Remember those that struggle with addictions and temptations. Ah, wilt thou grant thy help and deliver them? Lord, we humbly ask thee, by renewal in this day for thy help. May our help truly be in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. And then in this evening, then our catechism speaks of that true conversion. Ah, Lord, we have heard the necessity thereof in the past week. May there have been burdened souls in this week concerning their state for eternity. O wilt thou so in this evening hour work wonderfully by thy Spirit. Oh, do convert what is unconverted, uncover sandy foundations, and do remember thy Zion. Many things to ask. Wilt thou remember everything that we forget? Forget it not. Do remember in supplying the daily bread for our family circles. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 428, the stanzas 5, 6, and 7. Oh, teach me, Lord, the way that I should go. Then shall thy servant walk therein forever. Give understanding all thy paths to know. And then shall I keep thy law with zealous fervor. And what follows? Psalter 428, the stanzas 5, 6, and 7. this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 33, the question and answers 88 through 91. Question 88, of how many parts doth the true conversion of man consist? Answer, of two parts, of the mortification of the old and the quickening of the new man. Question 89, what is the mortification of the old man? Answer, it is a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins and more to hate and flee from them. Question 90, what is the quickening of the new man? Answer, it is a sincere joy of heart in God through Christ, and with love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. Question 91, but what are good works? Answer, only those which proceed from a true faith are performed according to the law of God and to His glory, and not such as are founded on our imaginations or the institutions of men. Lord's Day 33 speaks of the true conversion of man. Four thoughts. First, the two parts in true conversion. Secondly, the mortification of the old man. Thirdly, the resurrection of the new man. And in the fourth place, the marks of good works. The two parts in true conversion, four thoughts as we find them in the four questions and answers. The two parts in true conversion, the mortification of the old man, the resurrection of the new man, and the marks of good works. A beloved congregation, we have heard from Lord's Day 32 in the last question, can they then not be saved who continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives are not converted to God? I hope there have been those that have thought much of that question, and that you have turned that question into prayer, into supplication, because shall it be well, and then we need to be converted. Concerning conversion, because it could be asked in this Lord's Day, how come that the instructors have waited so long in our Heidelberg Catechism to tell us what true conversion is? Would that not have been more proper at the beginning of our Heidelberg Catechism, since it is a matter of death and life? and then concerning conversion, and then in the strict sense of the word, and then we speak of conversion in the narrower sense and in the broader sense. And now in the narrower sense, and therefore, boys and girls, we need to ask the Lord that he may convert us, and that he may convert us early, and the same for older ones, for elderly ones where it has become late, but not too late. And now in the strict sense of the word, that is regeneration. That is the moment when the Lord, by his almighty grace, begins that good work in the heart of a sinner, a virtue, the meritorial work of Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit takes up habitation in the heart. And now there can be troubled souls if that is so, because we cannot both be dead and alive. And that almighty, that supernatural and astonishing work of the Spirit, and that is when a sinner is quickened. And now what can be the question in the hearts of some souls? If that is now the case, then how come I cannot tell the exact moment when that has taken place? Nevertheless, when the Lord works, we shall know it has become different, with different longings and with different desires. And to that end, in this Lord's day, then we are called to examine ourselves. And now in that examination, for the true children of God, then they shall hear matters in this Lord's day which they can and may not deny, and that are strange unto them. Thus conversion in the narrower sense, that is the quickening of the sinner. Oh, think of Ezekiel 37, when the prophet in a vision has seen a very large valley, and in that valley many bones which were very dry. And then he was commanded to preach through those bones, and they began to shake. They were closed with flesh, and they became a great army. I read in Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in sins and trespasses. But now conversion in the wider sense, and that is the whole life of the child of God. And to that end, in the part of gratitude, then the instructors, they have mentioned the marks, the distinguishing marks of the true conversion of man. Because Christ has said in the Sermon on the Mount, by their fruits ye shall know them. And now concerning that conversion, there are many things in this life that we need. There are many things that are profitable, many things to make us comfortable, many things that may give us joy. But now there is one thing that none of us can miss, and that is that true conversion in beginning, but also in continuance. Because Christ has said to Nicodemus In John 3, verse 3, except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. In the second place, it is such a blessed work. O Moses, after he has finished blessing the children of Israel in the plains of Moab, in Deuteronomy 33, then he was given to exclaim, happy art thou, O Israel, O people saved by the Lord. And the psalmist in Psalm 144, verse 15, happy is the people that is in such a case whose God is the Lord. In the third place, it is a work that is profitable for God and profitable for man. Isaiah 43, verse 21, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. And in Isaiah 1, verse 9, there the prophet has declared, except the Lord has left us a small remnant, we would have been as Sodom and Gomorrah. Oftentimes the expression is used that the true children of God, those sires at the throne of grace, for the family circles, for the church, for a nation, they are the corks upon which a nation may float. In the fourth place, it is a work that becomes manifest. It is true. I read in Psalm 83 of those hidden ones, and the true work of the Lord, because it is such a mysterious and such an astonishing work, when a sinner may be given to see in the sight of a holy and a righteous God what sinners they are, then you find them more in secret places where they pour out their hearts. Oh, you shall find them in the house of the Lord, because they have become as a Ruth gleaning on the fields of Boaz. And then in the fifth place, it is a joyful and a sweet work. The psalmist in Psalm 89 has spoken to hear the joyful sound. We read in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then in verse 10, which in times past were not a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Of how many parts does the true conversion of man consist? That implies that there can also be other conversions which are not the true work of the Lord. And the true child of God, they do not become angry therewith. They are oftentimes given to examine their hearts and their lives, and they are given to tell the Lord, Lord, there are so many riddles and so many questions. My sins are manifold, outwardly can seem to nearly be perfect, but I have that evil heart, and I hope to become holier and holier, Lord, if it is now not true, when thou hast not begun in me. When I have begun with thee, then it shall all come to an end. Sooner or later, wilt thou then convert me today, that I may belong to that multitude, that I may be a little lamb of that good shepherd, and that I may be thine, purchased because he needs the pardoning of my sins. Let us never think, congregation, that there can be an unconscious regeneration, that we do not know what has taken place. I repeat it. In the beginning, there can be so many questions. There can be so many riddles that such a sinner does not even really know what has taken place, but it has become different. Then in the second place, there can be a conversion, there can be a great change in our life. That from the world, or a sort of a loose life, not such a serious life, that we start to find our joy in religion, in the Word, and yet that it is not a true conversion. Think of the parable in Matthew 13 of the stony ground here. That farmer, what he was given to come to his field, and he saw some plants, some blades that grew so fast, then that farmer was not so glad because he realized that it had not much of a root. There can also be sickbed conversions. That there comes a great change in our life because of afflictions, because of trials, because of a death. Oftentimes, the Lord does use it. And when the Lord does use it, then for such a soul, they can question, they can be so troubled, afraid, that it was only because of circumstances. When we think of King Ahab, when the prophet has come unto him, after he has taken the vineyard of Naboth and has declared the judgments, then we read solemn things of Ahab, that he put on sackcloth, he fasted, he went softly. The Lord even said to the prophet that he humbled himself. Thus a great change. Expectation. Was it now the work of the king? Was King Ahab not converted? But let it overwinter, and it faded away. Can be also imaginary conversions that we think. Think of those foolish virgins with their lamps. They ran out of oil, and they came to a shut door. Can even be conversions for the profit, for gain, but not the true work. In the life of the living church, then we also speak of daily conversion. That is so necessary and so profitable for the child of God. There are also people of God that can clearly speak, as it were, of a second conversion. Not to misunderstand it, but that means in such a backsliding and low state that the Lord, by renewal, has come over. They were given to repent and led further into the mysteries of salvation. Of how many parts does the true conversion of man consist? that word of is not the proper word. In Dutch, it says in. Because when we use that word of to make it simple for our children, then a book consists of many pages. They can be separated. When we speak of the essence of God, then we never say that it consists of three persons, but in three persons. And so it is proper also concerning the conversion of man to say in two parts. And those two parts, they are never separated. And children, then we must not misunderstand it. First the one, and then the second. Oh, when that is the case, when a Christian may only speak of the second, and when the first is past, then we have many reasons to be question marks behind it. Because these two parts, they can never be separated. They belong together. Let us not separate what God has joined together. And these two parts, they are experienced in the life of a child of God all the days of their pilgrim journey. And then we read of two parts, of the mortification of the old and the quickening of the new man. Thus, that true people of God, we may say it, they become a two man. And they receive that new nature, but that old nature, that old man, in Romans 8, 9 times, it is called the flesh. And in the beginning, they hope that that flesh may be converted, and that is a good and a living desire to never sin against the Lord. But that old man shall never be converted. And to that end, in the life of a child of God, there comes that holy warfare. We have natural examples in the Bible that typify the same. Concerning Ishmael, before Isaac was born, then we do not read in the Bible that he was such a bad boy. But now when Isaac was born, the child of promise, and when he was weaned, then there came much trouble between Ishmael and Isaac. We have the example, of Rebekah. Then Isaac, in the presence of his dear wife, for 20 years, have prayed for a child. And then Rebekah, she was given to experience that there were twins in her womb, and that they strove together. And then the Lord has declared that the older would serve the younger. Oh, then that Rebekah, she was so puzzled. And I read that she went to inquire of the Lord, and she received instruction from the Lord. Thus Esau the older, and Jacob the younger. We read in Judges 3, when the children of Israel, when they have come into the promised land, that the Canaanite was still in the land, the Lord has left them. We read that in the chapter to prove them that there were those giants in the land. And that is the strife of the church of God. We also read specifically of the kingdom of Saul and the kingdom of David, and that they warred together. Thus a holy warfare between the old and the new. And I hope we all have a warfare. But that in itself, oh, I hope, under God's word, that we do not always live so easy. A warfare between a speaking conscience, the lust of the flesh, the things of the world. Because when there is no warfare, then we are very far gone. Then our heart has become very hardened. A warfare on account of upbringing that we have been taught. What is right and wrong. A warfare, the fear of punishment, fear of shame. But what is now missing, and I hope also boys and girls, especially youth, that you have that warfare. And that oftentimes that warfare that brings you on your knees, that you tell the Lord that the temptations, they are so great and so manifold, and I have this evil heart, and it seems no power to resist being swallowed up. Those that have fallen into addictions, we shall not broaden it out, that there is indeed a warfare, and that you come often at the throne of grace begging the Lord to help you. But then you shall ask, what is now the difference between the warfare in the hearts of church people and the warfare of the true child of God? Then there is especially one point that separates. In the true work of the Lord, I read in Galatians 5 verse 6, that faith worketh by love. And that is what our further points, they speak of. Because then the question is, what is now the mortification of the old man and the quickening of the new man? And for the true child of God, they are given to confess that there is much amiss, and that in that holy warfare, they are not the soldier that they ought to be. Many times they are wounded, they become faint. But when they read this Lord's Day, then there are matters that they cannot and they may not deny. Our second thought, the mortification of the old man. That word mortify, that means to defeat, to crush, to humiliate, and to crucify. And now we must understand that also that first point, that is virtue, the meritorial work of Christ. Christ is mentioned in the second point, but also that mortification is virtue, the meritorial work of Jesus Christ, and is wrought by the work of the Holy Spirit. And now our instructors, they have given a beautiful, an experiential and a profound answer. Then it is clear that the composers of our Heidelberg Catechism, Zacharias Ursinus and Caspar Olivianus, that they were on the right school, and that they had been taught by the Spirit, and on account of that experience, then that all truth has become so precious unto them. And when they were called upon to put together the catechism, then each time by renewal, then they are given to describe the true leadings of the true child of God. What is the mortification of the old man? It is a sincere sorrow of heart. Thus it is a heart work, not only with our mind, does not exclude our mind, but it is a work of the heart. And then what genuine words, as a sincere sorrow of heart, that we have provoked God. That sincere sorrow that flows forth from an experiential knowledge of the living, the great, the majestic, good-doing, and holy God. From that knowledge proceeds all we hope to hear further concerning the law, when a sinner may be given to see his picture in the mirror of God's law, because that law reflects the attributes of that great God, and that they have provoked God by their manifold sins. Oh, we have heard from the prodigal son that he went into that far country. The Lord has sent a famine. He came unto himself, and then he was given to reflect upon his life, what he has done to his father, that he has spoiled all his goods. He has come into want. Oh, a beautiful picture, and the true child of God knows that sincere sorrow that I have sinned so oftentimes against that good-doing God, where he has been so good, so merciful, granted many blessings, sent many a calling, have heard many sermons, that it all arises up against the sinner, and on account of that love shed abroad in the heart, then they experience that sincere sorrow, and they are given to weep those sincere tears before that great God with a prayer for mercy. It is a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins to learn the exceeding sinfulness of sin people. Those are matters that are experienced in the heart. Let us not deceive our poor souls. It is the work of the Spirit to make room for that precious Christ. And also that sincere sorrow we read thereof in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10. That godly sorrow that worketh repentance, and not to be repented of, to experience the bitterness of sin, and sin causes separation, thus goes in the first place, not excluded. When the Lord works, then we have much to do with the Lord's justice, which requires punishment. The Lord is justice in all his ways, but that sinner with that sincere sorrow, and let us add, already such a blessed sorrow, because people, when that is experienced already with that sincere sorrow, then they are given to taste the sweetness, the blessedness, and the joy of the service of the Lord. Because with that sincere sorrow, and we mention it, conversion in the wider sense, thus not to speak of a little time that we did have impressions, convictions many years ago, but that is past because now I have come to the opening of the gospel. No, that is a continual work. And let us add, in a certain sense, for the further led child, it even goes deeper. Because not only a sincere sorrow against God, against the caring providential Father, but against a crucified Savior. Thus it does not exclude punishment. Oh, when the Lord works, then we are much busy with death. Oh, then we do not always expect to become so old. Can be that it is mentioned off the pulpit that before the next Sabbath day we can be in eternity. Then how often those sorrowful souls, they apply it to themselves, Lord, shall it be me? Oh, then I need to be washed in that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now that sincere sorrow is not only talk, shall become evident in our walk, because then the instructors have added, and more to hate and flee from them. They shall be known by their fruits. And people, then we shall not be a compromising people. We shall read God's word honestly. And then we shall arouse to a holy jealousy, that it shall be seen, the family circle, when a father or mother is converted, the beginning husband and wife can do their best to hide it from one another, but it can only remain hid for so long, can be with children. Oh, that they begin to read good books, do not tell their father and mother, but take them out of the bookshelf, take them to their bedroom, and there they are given to search how the Lord converts his people, a hating and a fleeing. Let us first sing. Psalter 310. The first four stanzas, I love the Lord for my request and humble plea. He makes his care in him through life. My face shall rest, for he both hears and answers prayer. 310, as many as are necessary for the collection. Thank you. thought, the resurrection, the quickening of the new man. It is a sincere joy of heart in God that is experienced already at the beginning. Can we prove it? Oh, ask where the Lord has begun. And then you can tell such a soul, was your former life not better? Then perhaps not so much sorrow, not so troubled. Live a little freer, not so strict. Because it also happens in the church when the Lord does indeed convert a sinner, that the family thinks they become too strict. Does not have to be that strict. We do live in the year 2025. I can even not be told not to be self-righteous. And you can ask such a sinner with all the riddles, all the perplexities, why do you not return to your former life? What shall the answer be? Oh, in the first place, I cannot. And in the second place, no desire, although. Oh, I can be so fearful that I shall be as that washed sow that returns to the mire. Oh, they are given to us, Lord, keep me. Oh, continue that sincere sorrow and that sincere joy. Then they are in that element. Oh, we could ask different ones in the Bible. Let us ask that Mary. Three times specifically she is found sitting at the feet of Jesus. And shortly before his death, oh, she had joy in filling that little bottle with ointment. And then with the thought at the right moment, when she would receive freedom, those souls, they also need that freedom from above, can be so fearful of man and so ashamed. But what a joy it has given her that she may fill that little bottle and at the proper time wash the feet of Jesus with her tears, dry them with her long hair, and so pour that ointment upon him. What a joy for that Ruth when she may glean on the fields of Boaz. True, had to be threshed. Was not all grain. How happy she was when she may return to Naomi. We could broaden it out. How happy the lambs are and the sheep when the shepherd may lead them in a new pasture, when they may be led beside those still waters, when the shepherd calleth them by name. But now the instructors, they are given to speak of further, richer things, and that is now necessary for the comfort of a child of God. We have mentioned already the beginning that is a fruit of the work of Christ. But now for the comfort, And that is now the Spirit's work to bring to an experiential knowledge of the true Son of God. Because those souls, they experience wonderful things, but they shall experience that with everything they have experienced, that their sins are not pardoned. And therefore the instructors, and what a joy, already joy in the beginning, but now that joy to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God with the opening of the gospel, that they may be given to learn the fountain of that joy. And that is that Christ, the Father, has given his dear Son as a sacrifice for sin, and it is applied by the work of the Holy Spirit. And then we read further as a fruit, and with love and delight. That is that new man. It's not the delight of the old man. That flesh remains flesh. You can read thereof in Romans 7. That holy warfare. Wretched man that I am. The child of God. There can be times that they become weary, that they say, Lord, shall it now never become better? In the beginning, I had hoped to become holier and holier. I hoped there would come a time I had thought, if thou now bringest me to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, if I may now receive the benefit of the pardoning of sins, even in the way of revelation, then my warfare would be over. I have read of Lane Potapple. Have you read that book, boys and girls? That was a boy that was converted very early, was seen in the community, in the school. Many did not understand him. And when he was a very young boy, he received the pardoning of his sins. And then it is told that he went from his mother, went to a store to buy some groceries. He had a desire to tell it, no freedom. And then that God-fearing lady has asked, my boy, now you must tell what has taken place. And then he also met an experienced child of God on the dike, and he was given to freedom to tell that he had received the pardoning of sins. And then that old man says, welcome in the strife. Little young Lane thought that old man did not understand him, but later he realized how true it was. With love and delight to live according to the will of God in some good works. Is that what it says? No. In all good works. Our forethought, the description, the marks of good works. And when we speak of good works, then we speak in a vertical way. There's still a blessing when horizontally, when the Lord by his common goodness grants much love, compassion, help, liberality in the congregation. That is a great privilege and a great blessing. And in many churches, that is all that is focused upon. But now the instructors, according to God's word, they are given the marks of good works. And they are three. In the first place, their origin by true faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And in Romans 14, verse 23, what is not of faith is sin. Secondly, the rule according to the law of God. And the third, the purpose, His glory. The true conversion of man. Then how this Lord's Day, in a simple way, with very clear marks, lays out the true work of the Lord in the heart of a sinner and a continuing work. The work of a triune God. Paul has written to the Galatians in Galatians 6, verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we may humbly thank Thee even with our lips that Thou was granted another Lord's Day. We could come up to Thy house, yet a few simple words to speak. And Lord, may we return to our dwellings, young and old, and may we be honestly given to examine our hearts concerning what we have heard. O Lord, when it is missed, wilt Thou grant it? When there is deceit, wilt Thou uncover it? And wilt Thou encourage Thy true children in that holy warfare, and not be given to rest outside the saving knowledge of the dear Son of God as the way to the Father? Lord, watch over us in this week, the mothers in the home, daytime, the night watches, at work, on the way, at school, wherever we are called to be. Well, don't keep us from sin, harm, and danger. By renewal, we commend unto Thee the catechism classes, the school board meeting, and wilt Thou supply for the congregation on the coming Sabbath day. Give a prayer for one another. Wilt Thou now dismiss us in Thy favor. Return us safely to our dwellings. And, O Lord, do keep us from an unexpected and from an unprepared, an unconverted death. Thou work mightily amongst us for Thy honor and for Thy glory. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 79, the stanzas 1 and 3. My God, it was Thy grace that did my strength supply. When Thou didst hide Thy face, sore troubled then was I. To Thee I cried, O Lord, to Thee I made my supplicating plea. And what follows, 79, 1 and 3. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.